Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is! The Alex Dono Show on a Monday here on 560 WQAM. This gets me pumped up, man.
It's actually perfect for you. Yell, too.
I was about to credit Biff for the great song choice, but I'm the one who told you to play some Metallica.
You didn't say what song. I could have played Entered Sandman, and it would have just sounded weird.
Okay, all right. So you did a nice job there. It is the Alex Dono Show. But before we get into everything we're going to get into tonight, I want to do right by the listeners and give you a chance to win $1,000. It is time for your chance to win $1,000. It's 560 WQAM signing bonus contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word after to 72881. Not before, but after. Text the word after to 72881 and you're registered. Text AFTER to 72881 now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. So you have until 7 o'clock tonight to text in this hour's code word after to 72881. And I would love to have a $1,000 winner from this show. So good luck to everyone out there. Meanwhile, if you'd like to get in tonight and share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Interesting update written over the weekend by Ira Winterman in the South Florida Sun-Sentinel on Udonis Haslam. He's going to turn 38 years old next month, and we still don't know if he's going to come back to quote-unquote play basketball next year or if the retirement is coming up here this summer. We still don't know that, but Udonis Haslam did say something I find interesting, because every time we talk to Heat fans about UD, a lot of people say, man, I'd love to see him as an assistant coach in Miami. I would love to see him on a bench role, helping coach this team on Eric Spoelstra's staff. That is not something that Udonis Haslam is interested in. He said, quote, I don't want to do coaching. The coaching is not for me, he said. Being in the locker room and being able to have that raw side where I can still be a player and I can still be brutally honest and I don't have to be politically correct or play the political side of things, it gives me a little more leeway to communicate with my guys being a player as opposed to a coach. Management, though, remains intriguing as a bridge to making sure there is no divergence from culture that has transformed the franchise and allowed Haslam to share in three NBA championships. Quote, it could possibly be something that intrigues me, he said. But more so than anything, I just want to be a part of the organization. We haven't really defined a role, or I haven't defined a role, but I'm going to be a part of the organization. I've laid down a lot of groundwork, the roots. For me, it's more so important that the culture is carried on and is taken care of by the right guys. So for me, the culture was given down to Dwayne Wade and myself from the Zoes and the guys and those guys and Eddie Joneses, and they transferred the culture down to us. So it's my job to transfer it. So, okay, a lot of good stuff came out of that, that even though you're not going to expect Udonis Haslam when he calls it quits for his NBA career, he's not going to be a coach. He's not going to be on Spoelstra's staff. He's not going to work his way up towards maybe being a head coach someday. That's not the role that he envisions for himself, but he does like the idea of a front office role. And I think the most important thing that will make Miami Heat fans very happy is he wants to be a part of this organization. That is the Heat lifer. That is the most true sense of the term, Heat lifer. Udonis Haslam is that guy. And again, this is not a complete update on his status. He did not announce his retirement. I suspect the retirement is going to come before next season begins. I think we've watched Udonis Haslem actually in the Heat uniform for the final time. He's not committed to that yet, but something that Udonis Haslem has committed to, and I think every Heat fan feels warm inside in hearing this, is he is going to continue to be a part of that Heat organization. And you know it, man. You know that Mickey Arison and Pat Riley will make sure that Udonis Haslem has a job for life, that he always has an office at the American Airlines Arena. They are not going to do wrong by UD. And something I was thinking about earlier today is, you know, if you put together a short list, it may not quite be a Mount Rushmore, but you put together a short list of the most beloved athletes in South Florida history, Udonis Haslem is making that short list. There's no question about it. But you think about the other people that Udonis Haslem shares that list with, right? And he may not be quite as high up as a couple of these other guys, but there's no question Udonis Haslem, as far as beloved South Florida sports icons, athletes, shares a spot on that list with the Dan Marinos, the Dwayne Wades, the Jason Taylors, the Alonzo Mournings. He shares a spot on that list with guys like that. And it makes me wonder, is Udonis Haslem the most beloved athlete in the history of this town who was never really a superstar on the court? Right? Most beloved non-superstar. Because you think about the other people on that list. Dan Marino, Hall of Famer. Dwayne Wade, future Hall of Famer. Jason Taylor, Hall of Famer. You know, you can throw in somebody like Cam Wake, who's probably a future Hall of Famer, borderline guy at worst. And there have been years, when Cameron Wake has been the best player on the Miami Dolphins. Udonis Haslem, the way I would define him as being the most beloved non-superstar is, you think about Udonis's career in Miami, no question, great moments, great contributions. This guy was the Dirk Stopper in 2006. But Udonis Haslem, not only was he never an all-star, was never the best player on the Miami Heat, right? Because he was always taking a second or third or fourth fiddle role to Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal or LeBron James or Chris Bosh or Ray Allen. That Udonis Haslem, he was never part of a big three or a big two on this team, has never been the best player on the Miami Heat, has never been an all-star, and yet you compile a short list, like a top 10 of most beloved athletes in South Florida history, unless you don't have a pulse or if you just hate basketball, you're putting Udonis Haslem on that short list. And I think Udonis shares a spot on that list only with players who are true superstars, all-stars, future Hall of Famers, guys who at certain points have been the best player on their team. And then there's Udonis Haslem. So what has created that? What creates that intangible with Udonis Haslem? The fact that he never left the Heat, the fact that he more than once sacrificed money on his contract to stay here, the fact that Udonis has provided some of the most remarkable halftime motivational speeches you've ever seen, that he's done so much community work, so much community service and charity within this South Florida community. He's been a steward in this community for the last 15 years. So even though Udonis Haslem has, you know, been a very good player at times, but has never reached the great end of that spectrum, he reserves a spot on the list of most beloved South Florida athletes. He's Mr. 305, man. Does anybody else really get in that conversation? I know people are going to say Mario Chalmers. Like, I know Mario Chalmers will come in. That Mario Chalmers will be viewed as one of the best favorite non-superstars. In talking with people before the show, you know what names came up a lot? But I would argue that these are probably, at this point, even more because of radio. Joe Rose's name comes up a lot. But if Joe Rose, if it had just been for his Miami Dolphins career, and I get it, he did catch Dan Marino's first touchdown. So that is something you'll never forget. But if not for the 25-year radio career, would you put Joe Rose in that Udonis Haslem category? Channing Crowder. Even Channing will admit at this point, he's almost more of a radio guy than he is a former Miami Dolphin. Texter writes in, does Zach Thomas make that list? But like Zach Thomas, he was a superstar though, right? Like Zach Thomas, multi-time Pro Bowler. Maybe he won't be a Hall of Famer, but I would make the argument that he could or should be a Hall of Famer, whether he gets snubbed or not. So, like, just playing-wise, I would put him on a different stratosphere than Udonis Haslem, who has no argument to be in the Hall of Fame, unfortunately. P.J. Brown, not a bad suggestion. I mean, obviously didn't have the long career in Miami like Udonis Haslem did, but you could kind of put him in that Mario Chalmers type of category. Udonis is a Heat lifer, a texter writes, and will work his entire career in this franchise. I wouldn't have it any other way, man. Would not have it any other way. UD sucks, texter writes, and look at his crap numbers. Doesn't that help my argument, though? If you're saying UD has crap numbers, doesn't that help my argument that he is, because you can't deny he's beloved in this community. So if you're telling me he's not a good basketball player, and yet he's one of the most beloved athletes to ever suit up and play sports in this town, that helps my argument. Jeff Conine is one also, texter writes. Yeah, you know what? Mr. Marlin. I think Mr. Marlin can get some consideration, right? Because he was never really the best player on this team. And I still kind of wonder why Jeff Conine got that nickname, Mr. Marlin, because I think Mike Lowell is more deserving of the Mr. Marlin moniker than Jeff Conine was. But people have fond memories of Jeff Conine. He doesn't even like the Mr. Marlin nickname. I think that puts a lot of pressure on him, like to be an ambassador for this club, the club that recently fired him, I should add. But he doesn't even like that Mr. Marlin.
You're talking about the AAA team that plays at Marlins Park, right?
Are they up to AAA now? Have they been promoted?
I mean, most of their guys kind of rotated and out of it, so right. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, man. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us. A lot of people writing in Jeff Conine is getting a lot of mentions here for the most beloved non-superstar. I mean, he's clearly not at the level of UD as far as being beloved, but I think he makes that list of a guy who was never, you know, not a Hall of Fame caliber player, probably not ever the best player on his team, but is beloved by the community, even though he's not a superstar. Later on this hour, by the way, I do want to talk about the final road ahead for Jim Morris with Hurricanes baseball. Had his final home series Thursday and Friday. Saturday, unfortunately, a casualty of the bad weather. And now Jim Morris and Canes baseball, fresh off of 10 consecutive victories, they're headed to the ACC tournament with a prayer of a chance to make the NCAA tournament. They probably have to win the ACC tournament to get into the NCAAs. I would love to have that kind of a Cinderella come from behind storybook finish to Jim Morris and his 25-year career here. We'll also talk some Canes football later this hour with Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. We'll take your calls on the other side, 305 and 954-567-0560. The Alex Dono Show continues, but man, I want to talk about
radio.com.
I love some of the nominees coming in for most beloved non-superstars, athletes in South Florida, because, like, to me, Udonis Haslem has to take the cake there. Like a texter wrote, hasn't really done anything of note on the court in at least 5 years. He had his moments early in his career. That was the Dirk stopper in 2006, man. Like, there's a reason why Pat Riley and later Eric Spoelstra has wanted UD on their roster. Now, obviously, in the last couple of years, he's been more of a Uncle Drew mentor type. Yeah, I just dropped that. Udonis Haslem, Uncle Drew comparison. I don't know if that's appropriate or not. I haven't seen the movie yet. Probably not appropriate.
I don't know if he could ball as well as Uncle Drew can.
Man, that's true. Uncle Drew can ball.
And I don't think Juwan Howard and those guys are going to be able to ball the same way either. Like, you know how Kung Fu Shaq and all them are out there doing it.
If I see that trailer one more time, I'm going to run through a wall. Like, just change up the, you know, like the most overplayed trailers, the Uncle Drew trailer and the Mission Impossible trailer for that next. Like, I've seen that trailer 150 times. Like, come up with a new trailer. It's getting old.
Dumb Tom Cruise had to break his leg. They had a.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that's why it's taken forever. It should have already been out. He broke his leg or something like that during doing one of his stunts. So they had to delay taping.
Respect for doing his own stunts, though. But, I mean, the point on Udonis Haslem for me is he's so, so beloved in this town, despite the fact that he's not really a superstar, right? No all-star appearances. He's not going to be a future Hall of Famer, has never been the best player on the Miami Heat. And yet, for a lot of people in this community, you put Udonis Haslem on the same kind of a short list for most beloved athletes with the likes of Dwayne Wade and Alonzo Mourning and Dan Marino. Not quite as high as some of those guys, don't get me wrong, but Udonis Haslem is on that short list for most beloved athletes in South Florida. A couple of other people getting love. How about Kimbo Slice? That's an interesting one, because the only thing that Kimbo Slice, who, you know, is now passed away, may he rest in peace, the only thing he was a superstar of was beating up out-of-shape guys on YouTube. Like, when he actually got a chance for sanctioned fights, was extremely limited and not successful in both mixed martial arts and boxing. And yet Kimbo Slice, he is extremely beloved in this town, even before he passed. Like, it wasn't like Kimbo Slice became in vogue after he died. Like, Kimbo Slice was idolized by so many in the 305, even before his number came up.
Well, he didn't start off on YouTube, remember. He started off on the dirty websites originally.
Oh, yeah, like the Bang Bros? Yeah.
Exactly, because that's, you know, wasn't he a bouncer at one of the strip clubs?
So I've heard. Like, I've never seen
one
of those.
I'm pretty sure that would make sense why he would be doing
it.
Yeah.
And some of the other names that come up. I doubt that this is going to carry as much weight with our audience, but a personal friend of mine, so I like this, Bill Lindsay, the Blonde Bomber. Bill Lindsay, give him some love. Matt Moore, backup quarterback, beloved. Don Strock. That's another beloved backup quarterback, not a superstar. More beloved for his days with the Dolphins and his days coaching FIU. Like, I feel like, Biff, that's probably what you remember him more for.
I don't remember him at all.
Wow. Spoken like a true millennial.
I like the crack in your voice there.
I know. Millennial. That was spoken like a true millennial. And this one probably takes the cake, man. I'm sorry I didn't think of this one sooner. But, and even though, like, I'll let this one slide, even though this man would not have been quite as beloved if not for the amazing things he did on radio and media in this town. But Jim Mandich, the Mad Dog, that one, you put him in that same short list. You put him in that same short list with Udonis Haslam and Mr. Marlin, probably even more deserving, I would say, than Jeff Conine, certainly. But Jim Mandich, man, not only a former Dolphins tight end, undefeated team, big in the 1970s, but that was my guy on the radio. That was my guy growing up listening to sports talk radio in the 90s before I got into it. 2 to 4 p.m. When I was in college, when I was in high school, man, I would look forward to listening to the Mad Dog Jim Mandich and him calling Dolphin games, the All Right Miami. You put Jim Mandich in that conversation as well. It was first our engineer Tree texted that to me, and then a lot of people on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022 have chimed in with that one as well. No question, Jim Mandich is on that short list. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Dolphin Mitch here on QAM. What's up?
What's going on, Dono?
Not
hey,
much,
listen,
man.
Listen, I was about to jump on you with that Jim Mandich thing. I'm glad other people were texting that in.
Yeah, he's absolutely deserving. Absolutely. And the reason why, like, he didn't come up for me right away was I was thinking more because, like, UD, he's not entered the next phase yet where, he's not doing broadcasting and he's not in the front office. So I'm just thinking, like, on the court or on the field. But Jim Mandich, if you put in the whole body of work, him being for decades one of the voices of the Miami Dolphins, one of the voices on QAM here on sports radio when we were the only sports radio station in town, the whole body of work, Jim Mandich takes the cake.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said that any better. Now, with UD, I'm going to sum this up for you, what it is about these guys that endears them to fans. I think I got the summation here. For number one, it's relatability. Okay, fans can relate to guys like UD and guys like Jim Mandich. Why? Because when they see him out and about, these guys are very personable and very engaging with the fan base.
Right.
They don't turn fans away. They love being around regular people. They're not all up on themselves kind of thing. And fans really, really, really relate to that. The other thing, as far as UD goes, you know, maybe he hadn't done a whole lot in the last 5 years on the court, but I would actually tend to disagree with that to a point. Maybe not with the ball in his hands or actually playing, but his impact is from a cultural standpoint.
Yes, no question.
One thing that UD did when he came here from day one, he embraced the Miami Heat culture. He embraced everything that Pat Riley was trying to drill into his teams. And, you know, that 2016, yeah, he was the dirt stopper, but it wasn't just that. He was the starting power forward on that team. And he got a lot of rebounds and did a lot of dirty work and had a lot of hustle plays. And you got to have guys like that on your team, even when you have guys like Shaq and Wade and Jay Will and all these other guys, you know, you've got to have an Antoine Walker. You've got to have a guy that does those dirty things. And, you know, that builds respect on the team. And it actually can be a contagious thing and get other guys doing the same thing when they see him doing it. And fans absolutely love that about him. And again, you know, it goes back to his embracing the culture. You know, and I don't want to open up this can of worms, but I'm going to anyway.
Okay.
You know, if Hassan Whiteside had one-tenth of UD's attitude and heart, he would be a perennial freaking all-star.
You know, it's funny you say that because one of the things that I caught this morning, and I wrote a short piece about this at WQAM.com, shameless plug, Ronnie Cicely was a guest this morning on the Joe Rose Show. And, you know, of course, you're not going to have Ronnie Cicely on and not ask him about Hassan Whiteside. And Cicely, right, who has kind of a unique perspective, because Cicely being that, you know, he was born in Lebanon, he actually watched Whiteside when he played in Lebanon before he came back to the NBA. He's talked to some of Whiteside's former teammates in Lebanon, so he watched him overseas. He's watched him with the Miami Heat. And I thought Cicely hit the nail on the head when he said, I'm not sure if that guy really loves basketball enough to be great. Like, I don't know how much he really loves the game, because the way that he plays doesn't give off the type of effort from a guy who really loves what he's doing.
And you know what? I find that really interesting coming from a guy like Cicely, who was a great athlete. I remember when he drafted him out of Syracuse, and Cicely, as great an athlete as he wasn't that really good of a basketball player,
right,
but he turned himself into a really good rebounder, an excellent rebounder, and a guy who could play defense in the post. Was he a great scorer? No, because he didn't have a lot of skill set in that regard, but he didn't need to be. He knew what he was, and he worked hard at what he could do, and that's what he got out of him. And, you know, I find it interesting that Whiteside is more of a pouty child to me than anything.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you had one-tenth of Udonis Haslam's heart and desire to actually be great, he would be an unstoppable force. But he's just not, because I think Cicely's right. He just doesn't love the game enough to be great at it. You know, it's like Dwight Howard all over again. A lesser version of Dwight.
Exactly, because at least Dwight, you can say, did have an impact, not nearly as long as he should have had,
right,
but Dwight Howard for a couple of years was one of the best players in the league.
Absolutely. All right, Donna, thanks a lot.
Great call as always, man. Dolphin Mitch. And so again, like what I brought up here on Udonis Haslam is most beloved non-superstar, right? For a guy who's never been an all-star, he's not a future Hall of Famer, has never been the best player on his team, yet he's so beloved in this community. Because a couple of people are texting in Dontrelle Willis. I mean, Dontrelle Willis did come from, you know, a hair away from being a Cy Young winner. Very quick flash in the pan, but for a couple of seasons, Dontrelle Willis was one of the most unhittable pitchers in the game. He lost it quickly. That candle burned out really suddenly. But Dontrelle Willis, for a few years, was one of the best pitchers in the game, man. So I don't know if I quite put him in that same category. Here's a good one that came in, another guy who deserves consideration, right? Whereas Mario Chalmers is getting some love. We talked about him earlier. How about Shane Battier? Shane Battier gets some love, right? You know, the community stuff as well. Battioki, he's an approachable, lovable guy in this city.
Isn't he still in the Heat's front office?
He is. So that's another, even though he didn't start his career here, didn't play the majority of his career in Miami, he has become a Heat lifer.
It's because of that LeBron team. He's that role player that they needed.
Battioki, I love it, man. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Nat Moore is getting some love. Not Matt Moore, but Nat Moore, former Dolphins receiver, who, of course, is very much a part of this community on the Dolphins broadcast, the radio and TV work that he's done. Juan Pierre, former Miami Marlin. And he was a Marlin. He's been a Marlin multiple different times, Juan Pierre, other than his weak throwing arm, a texter says. Obviously, you wouldn't put him in the UD stratosphere, but in terms of, like, the Marlins context, you would put him up there. Earl Morrill, before most people's time. I mean, Earl Morrill, you're not getting that perfect season in 72 if not for him doing the dirty work before Bob Greasy got to come in and get that Super Bowl victory at the end of it. How about another one that came in? This one was funny. John Denny, longest tenured Miami Dolphin, great long snapper. Dolphin nerds know and love John Denny, right? Like, no question about that. If you're a Dolphins geek, you idolize John Denny. But John Denny, if he's out at the Aventura Mall, ain't nobody stopping John Denny for pictures. Like, he walks around anonymously. You might just say, who's that rather large dude walking around? Udonis Haslam, however, he walks around the Aventura Mall. Crowd builds around that guy getting pictures taken. I've seen Udonis Haslam out and about before. He's always great, man. You see Udonis Haslam, people are stopping him. Can you sign this? Can you take a selfie with me? I've never seen him turn a fan down. Never have. O.J. McDuffie, that's a pretty strong nominee. And O.J.'s a really nice guy as well. I interned for O.J. when he did, way back in the day, he was doing a show for 790 in the early days of 790 The Ticket, even before he was on with Sid Rosenberg, because you had the O.J. and Sid show later. You had the O.J. McDuffie show with Mark Eisenberg before that, and O.J. was always a great dude, man. I think that's another guy who, you know, obviously not a future Hall of Famer, not really a superstar, one of the best slot receivers in Miami Dolphins history, though, but O.J. McDuffie is in that argument. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Ooh, a texter asked me if I've seen the Jason LaCanfora quarterback tears. So I'll tease this for the 7 o'clock hour. He's done this for at least the last couple of years. Jason LaCanfora, once you get into this, you know, kind of the calm before the storm of the NFL season, right? Like, I know that OTAs start this week for everybody. The Dolphins start OTAs tomorrow. A bunch of teams like the Patriots had their first day of OTAs today. Tom Brady didn't show up, by the way. We'll get to that a little bit later. But, I mean, relatively speaking, there's not a whole lot going on in the NFL. I mean, OTAs, private workouts, a lot of guys in there essentially in pajamas running around on the field. You don't take a lot out of OTAs. So kind of a slow period for the NFL. Jason LaCanfora, who's one of the best journalist in the business covering the National Football League, he releases his tiers of quarterbacks, right? And I'm always curious to see what kind of love, if any, does Ryan Tannehill get. Here are the tiers. Tier one, bona fide franchise quarterbacks. Tier two, top pros, proven winners. Tier three, rising stars. Tier four, you can win with them. Tier five, guys, veterans, and placeholders. Tier six, good luck. And tier seven, the verdict is out. So in the 7 o'clock hour, we will discuss where Jason LaCanfora places our guy, Ryan Tannehill. But when we come back, final stretch of the career coming up for Jim Morris. Three, he's got the ACC tournament. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, if the Canes can win the entire thing, the ACC tournament, they'll be in the NCAA tournament, as Jim Morris is going to put the exclamation point, going to put the old bow on the 25-year coaching career at the University of Miami. Two national championships. You know, I know that the last few years haven't been great, but the body of work, unbelievable for Jim Morris. Plus, very interesting preseason football update. A certain publication, which I respect, has a ton of hope and expectation for the Miami Hurricanes this coming season. More love to Canes football than I expected, given the quarterback questions, the offensive line questions. That is something, this and more, I want to break down with Christy Chirinos of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. She does a great job covering the Hurricanes. She will join us next here on QAM. Radio.com. Back here on the Alex Dono Show, 560 WQAM. So the Hurricanes baseball team is headed to the ACC tournament. This is the swan song. Well, hopefully they can actually qualify for the NCAA tournament. But Jim Morris just had his final home series in Coral Gables. After 25 years, he is set to retire once this season is over. To talk about that and talk some football as well, we bring in our friend Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. She joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Christy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dono?
I'm doing very well. And it really is the end of an era, Hurricanes baseball. 25 years for Jim Morris. You got to tell me, you were at the media availability earlier today. What was the mood like there among folks in the program and, of course, Coach Morris himself?
Let me tell you, it was really interesting to talk to those guys. They are very confident, and why wouldn't they be? Despite the fact that it's kind of been a little bit of an up-and-down season, and we know they've had some incredibly disappointing losses, they're going into the ACC tournament riding a 10-game win streak. And, you know, that's how you want to go into this. So Jim Morris said, listen, we've won 10 straight. Why not win 4 more? Win this tournament outright. Get ourselves a spot in the regional and see what happens next. So, I mean, everybody that we talked to, from Andrew Cabezas to Freddie Zamora, who's, you know, a freshman doing this for the first time, they're all very confident. They think they can do it. They think that they can put it together, you know, and at least get themselves into the championship game. You know, but I do think they need to win it to try and get that spot. So it'll be interesting just to see how the next couple days play out for them.
Yeah, there have been a lot of ups and downs in recent years for that UM baseball program, and kind of the unfortunate side effect I see from that, Christy, is I don't feel like, from a lot of fans, not from every fan, but I think for a lot of fans, Jim Morris is not being appreciated as much as he should be, because right now the last few years have maybe left a stronger impression than the body of work over 25 years. So with that in mind, how important would it be if this team can build that Cinderella story after winning 10 games, if they can win the ACC tournament and get into the NCAA tournament? How much would that mean as an exclamation point for Jim Morris on the way out?
You know, obviously, I think his legacy at Miami is pretty much intact. I mean, 13 College World Series appearances, 2 national titles, you know, that's huge. But obviously, everybody around the program, including the players, including Coach Morris, know that fans have really kind of seized on the last 2 years and some of the struggles Miami has had. So, you know, to a player, everybody that we talked to today, from Andrew Cabezas to Freddie Zamora, you know, they all just said, listen, we want to do this for ourselves. Obviously, we want to get the Miami baseball program back in the postseason. We want to start a new streak, but we want to do this for 3-2. They acknowledge that this is his last season. They, you know, they want him to go out on as high a note as possible, because if you were around that team last year, you know how despondent they were at not getting into the tournament and, you know, having that end. I mean, Morris and several of the players were practically in tears that day. It was, you know, really tough to watch, and credit to all of them for, you know, talking to us that day and you know, sharing their stories. So they don't want to feel that again, not for themselves and definitely not for 3, because, you know, they do. Those players signed up to play for him. They wanted to be there for him. They respect what he has done at Miami. So they want to make sure that they can send him out on the best note possible. It absolutely is a motivating factor for them this week.
You know, what do you've probably also been around Gino DeMare, who's taking over. Do you think a lot will change with the program? He is somebody who's on the staff already. So can we kind of expect he will more continue UM baseball the way things have been going, or could dramatic changes be coming?
I don't know. You know, I think that continuity is going to be good. I mean, it's always tough to be the guy after the guy, right? And,
yeah.
And Jim Morris has talked about how tough it was for him. He said, if I hadn't had Ron Frazier's endorsement, you know, and Ron Frazier's support when I arrived at Miami, I don't think I would have taken that job. So he is giving that same kind of support, that same kind of backing to Gino DeMare as DeMare gets ready to take over the program. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, what kind of changes he makes. But I expect there to be a little bit of, you know, continuity, a little bit of fluid. Maybe things change in how, you know, a lineup is drawn up or you know, some changes in recruiting here or there. But you kind of have a feeling that the system that is in place is something there for them to build on, and that, you know, hopefully will just be what they need and a little bit of a fresh start moving forward.
Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is with us. She covers the Miami Hurricanes. So, Christy, you know we have to talk a little bit of football.
We always have to talk football.
So how are things going with freshmen, the ones who were not enrolling, were not early enrollees? Pretty much everyone else has arrived on campus now, right?
Yep, everybody is in except for one. Cam Davis is due in later this summer, and the expectation is, yes, everybody on an enrollee is there. So we're talking, you know, Al Blades from St. Thomas and Nessa Silvera from American Heritage, two of the local guys. Mark Pope is there. So, you know, they're going to get to work. They're going to get their first dose of, you know, off-season workouts and college classes. But, yes, everybody reported today. I checked in with Miami, and you know, they're excited to get that aspect of everything going as well.
And, you know, you're writing a piece in the Sun Sentinel about expectations for the Miami Hurricanes football team this coming season. And from what I understand, Christy, Athlon Sports, which is a publication, I know some folks who work there. I think it's a good place to get college football information, predictions, news, all that. they've got a pretty high expectation for the Canes.
Yep, they actually, in their magazine that comes out tomorrow, they are going to pick Miami to finish number 6 in the nation next year. And that's not starting the season, preseason top 10. This is where they think the Hurricanes have the ability to finish. So they think Miami's going to get, you know, back to Charlotte, back to the ACC championship game. They think they'll face Clemson again. They think it'll continue to go Clemson's way. But they expect that Miami will be, even with the question marks at quarterback and offensive line, which they acknowledge, they still believe this team has the potential, because of the defense, because some of the playmakers coming back, to be a top 10 team. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, that'll be another jump. They finished this year ranked 13th in the last AP poll. Now this is going to move them into top 10 category, just outside the top 5, if they are able to obviously perform to that level of expectation.
You know, Christy, to what you're saying, it reminds me of something. And yeah, like Athlon and anybody who follows this program will acknowledge there is a question mark at quarterback after the way Rozier finished last season. There are question marks on the offensive line. But I agree, this team is going to be really good, because I think everything that they do will be taking the tone of a dominant defense. And it's why I was talking last week, Christy, about a player on every South Florida team who I think will be the most important player on that team. And I gave Shaq Quarterman my nod for next year. I think Shaq Quarterman will be the most important player on that Hurricanes football team, because the linebacking core, I think, will be the most dominant unit on that team. I see him as one of the leaders of not only that defense, but that entire football team. So I think a guy like that could set the tone for a great season.
Absolutely. I mean, you started kind of sharing a little bit of your thoughts, and I'm like, he's going to say Shaq, he's going to say Shaq, he's going to say Shaq, because it's true. This is a young man who, obviously, we see the talent on the field. You know, what he can do, how he can hit, how he directs traffic out there for the defense. That is all amazing. But it's also what he does off the field, in the locker room. You know, it was interesting how Thomas Brown on the offense, you know, the offensive coordinator, kept saying, we need players to step up on the offense. We need that leader to emerge. We need that guy to come forward. And you never heard Manny Diaz saying anything like that, because he has Shaq, because he has Michael Pinckney, because he has Zach McLeod and Michael Jackson and Jaquan Johnson. But really, truly, I mean, the heart and soul of it is Shaq Quarterman. And as he goes, he sets the tone for these guys. They listen to him. They respect him. And, you know, he handled himself like such a pro last year at ACC Media Days as a sophomore. And, you know, people that didn't regularly cover Miami walked away, blown away, impressed by how he carried himself. And the thing is, those of us down here, we've been seeing that since he got here. So now when you look at that, he's going to go into his junior year. It has the potential to be something special. And, you know, the caveat with every junior is, let's enjoy it, because we don't know what he may be thinking going forward.
I love it. Final stretch of a great career for Jim Morris coming up, and already talking football in late May. There's nothing I love more than that. Christy Chirinos does great work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow her on Twitter at Christy Chirinos. Thank you so much for taking some time here on a Monday night.
You got it. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel does a great job covering the Canes. And I'm actually going to be doing a Hurricane Hotline tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, as Josie Gackey's going to be with the baseball team for the ACC tournament. So usually you don't hear me on Tuesdays. You will hear me tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. for a show I really enjoy doing when I get the chance, Hurricane Hotline. Lots to come in the 7 o'clock hour, including a new top three list. So usually on Mondays, I'll give you my top three weekend disappointments, but I got to say, it was a pretty stellar weekend. Good sports weekend, aside from LeBron winning, but I told you that was going to happen, right? I can't count that as a weekend disappointment when it was one of my weekend predictions. So it can't disappoint me if I was expecting it, because I told you this past Friday for my weekend predictions that the Cavaliers would blow out the Celtics in game 3, and they would give Cavaliers backers and LeBron fans like Mark Hochman would give them false hope that the Cavaliers were going to come back and win that series. I've got Celtics in 6, but the Cavs blew out the Celtics as predicted, so that cannot be a weekend disappointment. I'll have my weekend highlights in the 7 o'clock hour, 7:20. But when we come back, we'll go through Jason Lockenfora's quarterback tiers. Where does Ryan Tannehill fall next here on QAM? Radio.com.
Radio.com. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.